From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Melissa Block. It's time for New Year's Day reflections, resolutions, and a chance to ponder what's in store for the year ahead. For now, we won't think about the big picture, the upcoming presidential election, or what might happen in Iraq. Instead, we thought we'd spend some time considering what 2004 will have to offer in realms off the news, from language to rainfall to food. And we start with Kelly Beatty of Sky and Telescope magazine, who gives us a celestial forecast.
You know, every once in a while, the crescent moon and Venus pair up in the sky and make a really dramatic sight. And that's going to happen this year on February 23rd and again on March 24th. They'll be in the evening sky after it gets dark. Venus is the brightest star-like object in the sky, and the moon will be right next to it. It'll be really beautiful. Get out and see that one if you can.
What about, there are a couple of comets heading our way. What do we expect from that?
Comets come and go. You know, they're like cats. They have tails and do whatever they like. We have a couple of comets coming up in early May. The brighter of them will be Comet Neat, N-E-A-T, named for the telescope that discovered them. And in the early weeks of May, we hope that it will be hanging over the western sky at sunset with its tail draped, pointing upward, bright enough to see with the eye, and through binoculars, it'll be even better.
What else do we have to look forward to, Kelly?
You know, on June 8th, there's going to be something called a transit of Venus, where the planet Venus crosses between us and the sun. No one alive has ever seen this. The last time it happened was 1882. This is mostly an event for the Eastern Hemisphere, so some Americans will see it.
And what would that look like, the transit of Venus?
Well, it'll look like a big round sunspot slowly crossing the sun's disk. You don't want to do this without some protection for your eyes, but lots of people will be flocking to Europe to see this event.
Now, in 2003, everybody was buzzing about the visit from Mars, which came closer to Earth than it had in some 60,000 years. And I think for a lot of people, just looking up at the sky, it looked just like a slightly brighter speck, but for folks with telescopes, this was really something to get excited about. Is there anything that will rival that in 2004?
I don't really think so. You know, the solar system is the source of most of our really exciting things, like Mars coming closest to the Earth. Saturn right now is very close to the Earth and very bright, and it's also looking like a bright star in the sky. Through a telescope, Saturn is very satisfying, much more so than Mars, which can be a real challenge. So if you've got a brand new telescope and you want to try it out on something, Saturn would be a good choice.
Kelly Beatty is executive editor of Sky and Telescope magazine. Kelly, thanks a lot.
Hey, my pleasure, Melissa. Thanks.
This is an Olympic year. The Summer Olympics start in Athens on August 13th. And for the first time ever, women's saber fencing will be an Olympic event. Before, women have competed in foil and épée, but not saber. A U.S. woman has never medaled in Olympic fencing, but this year the U.S.'s greatest hope might just be Sada Jacobson. She's currently ranked as the number one women's saber fencer in the world. She's 20 years old, taking time off from Yale to train and try to make the Olympic saber team.
It's very fast, first of all. It doesn't look anything like what you would see on TV, like the Three Musketeers or Zorro.
All those are just myths, huh?
Right, right.
And what does the saber itself look like?
The saber looks actually like, you know, those little plastic swords that you get in your drinks and the cocktails?
Yeah.
That's sort of what a saber looks like.
How would saber differ then from foil or épée?
Well, foil and épée are both point weapons, which means that you score valid touches using the point of the blade by kind of poking your opponent. Saber, on the other hand, is descended from a cavalry sword, so you make the valid touches by more of a cutting, slashing motion.
Now, why is it that saber has never been a women's event in the Olympics until this year?
Well, until this year, there's been a lot of opposition with women's saber as an event itself, because for the longest time, people thought that it's too masculine. It's very aggressive. It's very fast-paced. And people thought that it was just inappropriate for women to be fencing saber.
Huh. So are there people now who still think that this shouldn't be a women's event in the Olympics?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Really?
There are a lot of people, yeah.
As you look ahead to the Olympics in Athens at the end of the summer, do you dream about yourself being on that team and representing women for the first time in this event?
Absolutely. Now I've been home in Atlanta, and I guess you can't really have something that takes up so much of your time and not dream about it.
Well, Sada Jacobson, thanks so much, and good luck to you.
Thank you.
Seda Jacobson, looking forward to the Athens 2004 Olympic Games, where women's saber fencing will be an event for the first time. There's no telling where U.S. soldiers may be headed in the year ahead, but we can tell you what they'll be eating. Or at least Jerry Darsh can. He's director of the Department of Defense's Combat Feeding Program, which comes up with the new Meals Ready to Eat, or MREs. These plastic pouch meals are what he calls warrior-tested before they're approved.
Our warfighters have indicated, enough with the mystery meats and the no-name casseroles. Let's give us something that tastes exactly like it says on the package.
Okay. Well, let's look forward. What's on the menu for 2004? What's coming up with MREs?
Well, for 2004, we've got a veggie griller with barbecue sauce. And believe it or not, vegetarian meals have become very popular. Another item going in is Mexican macaroni and cheese. We have something called Cajun rice and sausage. The cheese spread in the MRE is one of the more popular items, so we've added another one. This one happens to be with bacon. We've got a whole host of cakes and cookies like carrot cake, a molasses cookie, a creamsicle cookie that is actually it tastes exactly like you would expect it to taste. It tastes just as good as that creamsicle you got as a kid off the ice cream wagon.
But it doesn't melt.
But it doesn't melt, exactly.
Okay, so that's what's in. Now, let's talk about what might be heading out.
Mm-hmm.
I want to run by you a couple things that our reporter, John Burnett, found out from the Marines, the 1st Marine Division that he was traveling with.
Mm-hmm.
Thai chicken, hated it. Boneless pork chop, hated it.
Mm-hmm.
Beef frankfurters were commonly referred to as the four fingers of death.
Exactly.
Are they out?
Well, let's put it this way. We have some good news. You know how everybody has good news, bad news stories?
Yeah.
This is a good news story. In MRE 21, which was the 2001 data pack, the four fingers of death were given the hook. In 2003 data pack, which was last year, the Jamaican pork chop was given the hook. And the Thai chicken, which also doesn't rate high in the hit parade, is going to be pulled out next year.
So those four fingers of death, the hot dogs, were given the hook in 2001?
Yes, they're gone. There are a few of those that could have been used during the very early stages of Operation Enduring Freedom and potentially Iraqi freedom. Not too long ago, MREs that were bought today and assembled today, it took 7 years for them to work their way through the logistics pipeline.
That's a long time for those hot dogs to be sitting in a warehouse.
Well, it is, and if they don't start out on high on the hit parade, unlike a fine wine, they don't age that well.
Well, Jerry Darsh, thanks very much, and have a great 2004.
And I wish you and NPR the same. Thank you.
The folks at the Old Farmer's Almanac have a bead on what weather is in store for us around the country in 2004. And the guy who's been figuring out that long-range forecast for the past 8 years is Mike Steinberg. He's a meteorologist in State College, Pennsylvania. Mike, weather forecasts are notoriously unreliable, even for the day or the week ahead. So how can you possibly predict weather for the year ahead?
Well, we look at something different than we use for shorter range forecasts. We look primarily at solar cycles, the activity of the sun, sunspots, and various other things, as well as weather cycles and analog years and things like that.
And it works? Is it accurate?
Well, it seems to be. Historically, we have a record of 80% accuracy in the Old Farmer's Almanac. We have conducted some very scientific verification studies over the last 8 years. During that period, our accuracy level is 70.36%.
Let's bounce around the country a little bit and look at what's ahead. How about out west, where there's been a big problem with drought out there? Any relief in sight for folks out west?
A bit of relief, but overall it looks like the drought will continue through the coming year. There will be storms from time to time, but not enough to really make a dent in the drought like we had in the east in the past year.
Okay, so that's out west. How about on the east?
Well, it looks like a very changeable winter. A lot of the time it'll be mild, but there'll also be some very strong cold outbreaks. It won't be as snowy as last winter, but there'll be a fair amount of snow anyway.
I did take a peek at your map, and you'd mentioned that New England is going to be really hot in August.
Well, that's right. Actually, the entire eastern part of the country, the Midwest, the Mid-Atlantic, the Northeast, look like they'll have very hot summer temperatures.
And if you're planning a trip to Alaska, according to your forecast, mid-May would be the time to go.
Well, that's right. Mid-May looks like the best time in Alaska.
Mike Steinberg is a meteorologist with AccuWeather in State College, Pennsylvania, giving us a sneak preview of the weather of 2004. Mike, have a great year.
You do the same.
What new slang might pop into popularity in 2004? Well, for some clues, we turn to Sanovia Jackson in Berkeley, California. She's 17, a senior at Berkeley High School, and she's been thinking about new slang words with her friends at Youth Radio. Sanovia, what's your favorite slang word or phrase that you think will be big in 2004?
A lot of people say, yada mean, which means you know what I mean, all smushed together.
Yada mean.
And yeah.
Well, that's a good one. What else do you think is going to be big this year?
Well, in San Francisco, you know, it's which is coming over here, and it's new to us. I'm hearing a lot of people say things like can.
Can.
Which means, you know, something is weak or not so hot or, you know, and people say, instead of saying, you know, oh, that's with the old term, bootsy, you know, people just say, oh, that's can.
Now, what about for something that you think is great, which, you know, in the past might have been cool or fat or this word that I guess has been around for a while, but I just learned, tight.
Yeah.
What's the 2004 version of tight?
Things like, they would say stuff like, that's off the hook.
Meaning?
I mean, it's so much that it's just, it has to be off the hook. It's just too tight, as you'd say.
So if this is what's in for 2004, what's out? What will you hear and you'll just say, oh, that's so 2003?
The bomb. That's the bomb. No, nobody uses the bomb anymore. The bomb didn't explode it. You know, it's not cool. Because, you know, my mom starts using the bomb and she's sitting there like, you know, that's the bomb. I'm like, oh, no. Oh, no. I know it has to go now. So as soon as my mom started using it and she got the hang of it, I was like, oh, man.
Are you actively trying to come up with your own slang words and see if they'll catch on?
You know, I try to use words like click-clacking, which means, like, you know, I'm talking on the phone with my friends. So somebody, you know, my mom's like, Sanovia, what are you doing? I'm like, oh, I'm just click-clacking on the phone with my friends.
Click-clacking.
She's like, you are what?
Has anybody picked up on it yet?
Well, my best friend, she kind of uses it from time to time, but I think it's just to tease me a little bit. Like, oh, yeah, I'm just click-clacking on the phone, Sanovia, you know. My friends are like, Sanovia, just stop. You're trying too hard. So, so, you know, I just kind of backed away from that. I guess I have to be a rapper or something to, you know, get my words out there. But that's right now. I don't think they're going anywhere.
Well, Sanovia Jackson, thanks a lot and Happy New Year.
Okay, Happy New Year to you too.
That's Sanovia Jackson in Berkeley, California. You can gaze further at the future, or at least the next 12 months, go to our website, npr.org.